You look really, really, really happy with that idea. So there we go. We have three mics, guys, three people. One, two, three. Awesome, guys. Hey, Brad Montgomery on mic number one. Welcome to the studio. We have Brad Montgomery here from the Torrey Shelter.
Hey, Bill. Awesome. Thanks for being here.
Well, thank you. Thank you for coming on in. And why don't you do a quick introduction for yourself, since I'm not as familiar as we use the other two folks.
Hi, my name is Jacob Travis. My artist name is Hazard Clearance. That's what I go by when I'm performing. I'm an artist who has lived on the streets of Chico most of his life, and I'm just out here trying to spread a local image and try to get people supported in the local image, at least around hip-hop or any form of music.
How can I find your stuff, man? Is it on Reverb Nation, right?
Yeah, it's on Reverb Nation / Creative INT. Creative INT is the label that I'm trying to push forward right now. You can go right there, or you can find me on Facebook. Just search Hazard Clearance. It should be the first emblem that pops up.
All right, so we're going to have a song by Hazard Clearance in a second here. After my music producer, this is the 10th show of Without a Roof. We do it every month, and this Carrington's been here for half of them. So thank you for that, Carrington Scott Forbes, music producer.
Thank you. It's nice to be here. I just have a quick update for the Chico Stonewall. Trans Week is coming up from March 31st to April 3rd. It's going to be featuring instructional lectures, panels, and discussion groups for community and Medi-Cal professionals to better serve the trans community, as well as we're hosting a free teen dance on April 1st. It's going to be an art show and a bunch more. It's going to be space-themed. For more info, you can email trans@stonewallchico.org.
Awesome. Thank you so much there, Carrington Scott Forbes. What I think I'm going to do right now is I'm going to turn you over to, it's like a two-minute interview, because most of the program this evening is going to be around Stairways programming here in Chico, California, which provides harm reduction, rapid rehousing for, 60 people doing in a transitional community and another 24 or so that's in supportive housing. And I just had this neat interview as I did the main piece that's going to run for almost the entire length of the show. But this is a really cool young couple that I met at Stairways Programming a couple of weeks ago. So enjoy this here on the Without a Roof radio program. So I'm here at Stairways Program, and I'm going to interview a young couple here. I'm calling you a young couple. You look like a young couple to me. At 55, you guys definitely fit the criteria of a young couple. And they're going to kind of give us a little insight on, you know, how it is to live here and maybe a little bit about their story.
My name is Jeremy Nicholas Williams. I'm 25 years old and come out here to Chico, California about a year ago with my girlfriend. And we was homeless for, about the first 9 months?
7 months.
7 months. And then Stairways, they come under our bridge where we was living and snatched us up and put us in a place. I think it's the best opportunity that would ever cross through my life. But they got some simple rules to follow by. I mean, they ain't much, but it's definitely worth following them just to have a place to live. Not only living there, they provide opportunities for us and try to help us in our opportunities of living our lifestyle. They don't judge us for what we do or how we come about it. They just don't want nobody to lie to them, you know? And I accept that, and I really, really appreciate Stairways for giving me a chance and opportunity of a lifestyle that I choose to live. I know there ain't no other program out there like Stairways, so if you can, and if you want to, choose Stairways as an opportunity of living.
So what brought you to Chico? What on your roadmap got you here living in Chico?
Well, truthfully, it's a couple law providing things. I got a couple charges out in Arkansas. They put me on probation. And then on top of that, my girlfriend asked me to come out here with her. So I came out here with her to try to help her with her kid situation.
You had connections with this wonderful young lady here in Chico. That's what brought you to Chico, is this wonderful young lady here. I love it. What's your name, ma'am?
My name is Kristen Stopnick, and I'm 33 years old. And I came to Chico back, it'll be a year in March, for my three children who were adopted out. And I ran on probation and ran into Mike and Chef Dave in November and really fought to get in this program. And I really enjoy it. I've been clean and sober for almost 8 weeks, and I've been doing outreach with them. And I'm going to go back to school, and they make me want to stay clean and sober.
You say you do outreach, you go out with the Target team.
Yep.
What's the experience with that?
It's very eye-opening to see all the actual inside of it and what they actually do help. And it's also people, I've seen the good side of it and then how people judge me and get mad because I'm indoors. But it's okay. It's still fulfilling to go out and give people coffee and tell them that there is people that actually do care about them.
Big thing. Everyone wants to be cared about. If there was 30 seconds, you could want anyone in the world to know one thing. What would that be?
That I'm just very thankful to Mike and Chef Dave for actually taking the time to actually care about us and give us this opportunity. I'm very thankful for them.
Yeah, I just want to thank Stairways and Mike and Dave and everybody that's worked with me to get my career started.
Thanks, guys. It was awesome.
Thank you. Nice meeting you.
Same here. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, have a great day.
All right, back in the studio live with Brad Montgomery. And welcome again, Brad. I really appreciate you coming in. And Brad's going to give us an awesome update on what's going on with the Tory Shelter, raising funds, and a few other things I know it's on his heart. So welcome, Brad.
Thank you, Bill. And how are you?
I'm awesome, man.
Good. It's good to be here. Well, I think the first thing you wanted to know was an update on how things have been going since we made the announcement back on the 27th.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, thank you.
Well, the first thing is it's been phenomenal. It's been absolutely great that people have stepped up. The other service providers just had the interview about Stairways. Michael was one of the first people to contact us and say, we've got to find a way to make sure that the shelter keeps going because it's a fundamental piece of the puzzle. And that type of spirit is really been coming through from every segment of our community, and it's great. So in the last 5 weeks, we've raised $160,000. We have tripled the number of people that are giving to us monthly, which is one of our main goals because we want to try to avoid this type of situation happening in the future. And we're building a lot more towards more sustainable, stable support and breaking this pattern, this paradigm we've been in for far too long of operating at 2 to 3 months of expenses banked at a time, because that's so inhibitive. It cuts us back from being able to try new things. It cuts us back from being able to make a decent plan. And it means that our services have always been somewhat in peril. And even within that, we've been incredibly effective helping people out of homelessness. But I keep thinking, how much better can we be when we're sustainable, when we're stable, when we know that we're going to be around, when we don't have this hanging over our head all the time, and we can really plan on multiple ways to help people.
Awesome. So at this point, I'd like to do a really quick forward promo, because I'm really pleased that we're putting together a really cool program for folks. On Peace and Social Justice Show, 11:30 to 1 on the 11th of March, not tomorrow, but the Friday thereafter, we're going to do a whole program around Without Housing, which is a report that's done by Western Regional Advocacy Project. We're going to have Brad Montgomery here in the studio live, and we're going to actually have Ed Mayer from the Housing Authority of Butte County, Michael Medeiros from Stairways, Jennifer Hafner, who's just a rock in the community, legal community from Legal Services in Northern California, and Paul Bowden himself. And we're just going to have a whole conversation around housing and harm reduction and stuff like that. I mean, what could you say to that, Brad?
I say that affordable housing is one of the key elements of what we're going to need to do to have a comprehensive and something that actually works, something that provides enough options for people. We also need rapid rehousing. We also need permanent supported housing options. We need emergency shelter options. What we're doing has been piecemealing things together for too long, and every single organization that I'm aware of is struggling while we've been doing it that way. What we need to do if we're really going to be able to help as many people as possible out of homelessness and help them into situations where they can have more self-sufficiency and better lives is to have a myriad of options so that they can find the one that fits them and the one that helps them.
Awesome, Brad. Well, thanks again for coming in. Thanks for your being flexible, because I was hoping we were going to have 15 minutes for you, Brad. But one thing I can say, which is really cool, because you and I ate for lunch yesterday, I said, the cool thing about radio, Brad, is, you know, it's unedited. So I actually listened to the Stairways piece last night going, is there any way I can cut it down? I couldn't. There's just too much good stuff here. But thanks again for being flexible, and we look forward to hearing you on the radio in the coming days, and then certainly next Friday, the 11th, Peace and Social Justice Show. So once
Absolutely.
Again, Brad,
looking
thanks,
forward
man.
To it. See you.
Awesome. I'm going to kick it over to our rapper, man. We got like you said you had a 40-second acapella.
Yeah,
and then
man,
you were
just
gonna...
something I wanted to share with everybody
awesome.
before we depart. All right. Will I make it as a face of things that die inside? I try to ask these questions. Answers taste like cyanide. Provided proof. I pray it doesn't happen to you. Meanwhile, I'm going to keep my mind locked in the booth while my body I'd at least dance by for the truth I pursued. Sorry, I kind of messed up on that. Will I make it as a face of things to die inside? I try to... Will I make it as a face of... I'm sorry, I kind of messed up there. Will I make it as I face the things that die inside? I try to ask these questions to answer states like cyanide. Provided proof, I pray it doesn't happen to you. Meanwhile, I'ma keep my mind locked in the booth while my body idly stands by for the truth I produce in pursuit of what I can do. But if I can't, then I guess I'm a man and that's it. But I'm not calling it quits. As long as I'm alive, I'm a lighthouse kid. And those who seek truth, they will find me quick. And even if I'm not far gone, I'm so far out of myself that I don't know how to help. I'm asking for assistance or consistency at least. Does anybody care enough to see me leave? Now hear me plead. I'm screaming at the top of my lungs to release my soul. Let the truth be done.
Awesome, man. This is freaking awesome. You're going to hear more hours of Clarence. We're going to have him back on the show when we have more time. Like I said, we're right up against the window here. Thanks, Brad Montgomery. And anything else, Carrington, before we turn it over to you? Carrington's actually a main player in this wonderful interview. So anything else, Carrington, before we get going?
No, that'll be it.
Awesome. So enjoy this long form piece that we did on Stairways programming here on Without a Roof Radio program. So this is Guillermo Mash here for the March edition of the Without a Roof Radio program. I'm really blessed to be here on site at the Stairways programming, Chico, California. And I'm actually doing a pre-record with our music producer, Carrington Scott Forbes. Give it up for Carrington.
Hey, everybody.
And I also blessed to have Mike Medeiros, the executive director, program manager here. Why don't you give us your title, Mike? Maybe I got one of those right.
Executive director, Stairways programming.
Awesome. We're really happy to have you guys on the program this month. And we're going to start off with just a standard question, Mike, to get us started, is just tell us a bit about Stairways program and how many people are you currently helping in this program?
As of today, we house 64. We provide supportive services for right around 150.
Can you please explain harm reduction for our listener and audience here on KZFR?
Harm reduction, I don't know that it just has a simple explanation. It's more of a philosophy. So the way harm reduction works is we meet people where they're at. So we can't expect people that have substance use issues to just quit without dealing with why they use or some of the contributing factors. What harm reduction means, and then the best way I can explain it, is let's say that you go out and you're a heavy drinker, and you go out and you drink a whole bunch and then you drive home. So if harm reduction steps in and we get you to go out and you drink heavily but you don't drive home, we just reduce the amount of harm that you can cause to yourself and the community. Now, through that process, if we can reduce the amount of alcohol you consume and we get to a point where you're no longer consuming alcohol, then we reached the same goal of abstinence of other programs, but we've done it in a more practical way, and it tends to be a more lasting way. So harm reduction is understanding the cycles of use and abuse and addressing them at the same time of addressing other issues in the person's life to get a more long-lasting result.
So I'm going to actually ask a question to you, Carrington, because I know you didn't actually give us the listeners a little understanding of what you do here at Stairways, and maybe you could do that and answer this question as well. So you and I do outreach, and I know a lot of the clients, the people that live here, and it's just heartwarming to me to see how much better that they're doing. So maybe you can kind of give a pitch for harm reduction as it pertains to the duties you have here at Stairways Programming.
Well, I'm the nighttime support staff here at Stairways Programming, and on my off time, I do a lot of outreach to a lot of the homeless. Through the harm reduction method, I've watched so much progress being made in the community. I've seen many different individuals that had different life-controlling issues, and just because now that they've been given a chance that where they have a safe place to go home to, hot food to eat, and people that are actually willing to help them receive different services, take care of whatever they need to take care of, I'm watching so much progress made, and they're like step every day, just like everybody is a step closer towards completely just independent living.
So this is kind of a follow-on question to get a little more specificity on the harm reduction programs. Can you kind of explain how it's implemented here at Stairways, Mike, maybe compare it to other places or where we can put some contrast on that?
What we have in Stairways is we call everyone here community members, and the reason we do that is our goal is that people will re-enter our community and they'll live healthy, productive lives. What we do here with different harm reduction groups, and what we're focusing on is harm reduction as a life method, not just drugs and alcohol. And basically, it's giving people tools on how to live their life a little bit different. So we don't require absolute abstinence here. We don't tell people you need to meet a sobriety requirement to get in. We just think that that's a little unrealistic. And one of the reasons we feel that way, the truth is when we see people get here, and I know Carrington can talk about this as well, we're asked all the time, wait a minute, how did they get this major use issue under control so fast? They went from chaos to actually being able to control it. Maybe not abstinence, but control. And a lot of use out there is due to homelessness. A lot of the use is a female that's scared. She doesn't want to sleep. Or someone knows they go to sleep, the shoes get stole off their feet. Or it's cold and this drug makes them feel warm. So a lot of the use issues that we encounter are because of the streets and because of how it is out there. So we just feel that it's an unrealistic goal, at least for our program, to require sobriety to get in. So those are called barriers to entry. You'll hear that kicked around a lot. And so our goal is to remove as many of those barriers and implement the true housing first model, to where we're going to provide people that safe space to be, and then help motivate them starting right there. Show the compassion immediately from day one. We house you and we start working with you, and we start removing some of those barriers and reasons that you're using.
So here it's not so much you got to pee in a cup. I mean, do you have any rules related to use and abuse, and any rules related to we think you're using, we're going to do search, or any of these kind of questions? I know the listeners are probably going to have.
So we're assuming everybody here is using. That's where we start from. And then when we have that basic expectation, it's awesome to find out that they're not. So we're setting ourselves up for a good ending right there. The one rule that we have is there's no use at the facility. If you were to use at the facility, chances are you're not going to be here. That's the one big no-no. What we do is we use basically a normal human social contract. And if you come back and you're under the influence, it's not that you're under the influence. It's what kind of person are you? How are you acting? If you're a jerk, then you're a jerk. The reasons are so many that you could be a jerk, that if it's because you're under the influence, well, then we're holding you accountable for being a jerk. Mm-hmm. So if someone comes back and they're using, we look at that as more of a teachable moment and an opportunity to work with somebody, as opposed to this is a reason for you not to be here. Because very often there's people here that might be under some kind of influence of some substance and you wouldn't even know it.
All right. For listeners just joining, we're listening to Michael Medeiros, Executive Director of Stairways Programming here in Chico, California. And my wonderful music producer, Carrington Scott Forbes, is actually in this interview as well as the night person at Stairways Programming. But I did want to do a shout-out for our underwriters. Without a Roof is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by Friends of the Arts, a state local partner to the California Arts Council since 2001. Friends of the Arts has been creating economic opportunity through arts and culture by producing community festival events, including Artoberfest, Chico Palo, the True North Tour, the Silent Film Festival, the NorCal Jazz Festival, the Salmon Festival, and more. To learn more about Friends of the Arts, visit friendsoftheartsupstate.org. And by Raw Tree Care and Preservation, with over 14 years' experience, Raw Tree Care has been providing high-quality services at affordable prices. Raw Tree Care and Preservation is licensed, bonded, and insured, and can be reached by calling 321-4576 or on the web at protreeclimber@hotmail.com. You're listening to FM 90.1 KZFR Chico, listener-supported community radio, Sacramento Valley, the foothills, and beyond. And the opinions voiced on this program do not necessarily represent the views or opinions of KZFR, its staff, board of directors, or volunteers. Back to the interview on KZFR People Power Radio.
And so we're going to work off of a different premise. We're going to work off the premise that it's about you. It's not about the use. And so when we treat a person as a person and we don't make the substance use first, everything I'm trying to do is empower the individual. If everything is substance use first, then they're about the substance. And that's not what I want. I want it to be about that person. So you kind of have to live it in order for it to be real, and in order for you to make people feel like they're powerful and they come first, you have to actually treat them that way.
What about you, Carrington? On the streets, there are so many reasons why to use, and there are so many reasons, or there's very few reasons why not to use. And now, like, when in this proper, or like in this great wholesome environment, there's the option to actually focus on themselves and not be thinking about the drugs. Where, like, in like your traditional rehab facility, all you're thinking about every day, you're talking about your drug, you're talking about whatever that substance problem was, and you're not ever like moving past that issue. You're still focusing on that issue. Where here, we're focusing on ourselves. We're focusing on bettering your own life, your individual life, and through that, you're bettering the community.
You know, a perfect way to sum that up is I'm a big, giant, fat kid, and I love to eat. And if I am around here all day and my staff is talking about food all day, I'm going to get hungry, and all I'm going to think about all day is food and what I'm missing. my day when I'm focused on other things at the end of the day and I'm like, oh wow, I haven't eaten today. That's the exact same principle. So we don't want to talk about drug use all day, every day, and all those kind of things. We want to focus on the positive, and we want to get people going in a positive to where when they start having positive gains, they see that the drug use was a negative. And when people come to their own conclusions, that's when it lasts. When it's not forced, when it's not court ordered, when it's them saying, hey, this really did hinder my life, this is a bad thing, and this is how I stay on the positive track. So that's kind of how we do it. And I think that's the most important thing that we all have to understand, is that people have all had different walks, and some of the trauma that we hear on the streets during outreach would absolutely break your heart. And when you hear some of this trauma, I walk away from people often and think, well, of course you're going to use. How could you not use with what you're going through? It's important to understand that we have to provide the services so that people can get away from that use issue. We can't just tell them, today you stop using because you have to in order for us to care about you. And one of the things that bothers me to the core is when we choose what's okay and not okay for other people. So often we say, well, you're worthy of our help because you have a gambling addiction and you lost your home to gambling. But if we say that you lost your home to a drug addiction, now we, as a person, are putting our own beliefs on somebody else and saying you're less than. You're not as worthy as the person that had a gambling addiction because you have an alcohol or a drug use issue. And that's hard for me. It's hard when we in our lives condemn people or judge people in their lives because of the path that they've taken, because often it's not a series of choices, it's a series of just what's happened. And you know, I would challenge anyone to come out and just listen to some of these stories, some of these young women tell their stories during outreach and tell me how they don't use, how when you've been systematically raped for years and attacked and abused in every just terrible way you could imagine, how they don't use to go to sleep at night. So I think that we would all be really well served in this community with just a lot more compassion and understanding, and understanding that there is a light at the end of the tunnel. We can do this, but we have to kind of stop being so judgmental, and we have to stop being so punitive and focus on the solutions and understand that it's not where this person is right now. It's where they can be that matters.
For me, it's the look test too, Mike, because like I said, you know, not naming clients, I've just six of the clients here that I know, and they look so much freaking better. I mean, it's just night and day. And the one client, I keep calling them client, guest, community members.
Yes.
I mean, I love that term. I love that, community members. So the community members here, I can see some major, major differences. They look so much more healthier and happy. And the one community member that used to live here, I know I can talk about because he's always given me permission, is Guitar Clem. Before we started talking, Guitar Clem looks 10 years younger. Have you seen him recently? Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. It's amazing.
You know, one of the highlights here is we got to supply furniture for Clem's new house. Thank you to the Posse Foundation that gave us all that furniture to take over there. And true story, we had a bunch of guys lowering this big old couch, and as they were lowering it, Muddy jumped on it before it even hit the ground and started howling and laid down. And I don't know that I've seen that dog in another position since that got placed. So he was an amazing, amazing story right there. He was somebody that it just felt really good to help him. And, you know, he does look better, and it's neat to see, because you kind of feel like you handed somebody a couple years back.
People get caught up in this catchphrase, results. From my work with chronic homeless human beings, any ruthless person actually, getting them into a safe space is enough of a result for me. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
I understand results. I understand the need to have some kind of provable data for funding and for other things. The problem is that when we get so caught up in data and results, we lose sight that we're still talking about people. A happy ending might not be that person goes to their own apartment. It might be that they go back to their husband or their wife, and you know, how do you track certain things? So I think that at a community level, and since I feel most of our issues should be community solved, it's an outcomes more than results that we're looking for.
I couldn't say that any better. Once again, that's Michael Medeiros, executive director of Chico's based steroids programming, a harm reduction rapid rehousing program, along with the night manager over there at Stairways Programming, Carrington Scott Forbes. And we're going to transition now into the second segment of this piece, which goes about 6 minutes here on People Powered Radio. Without a Roof radio program
that are in the trend. I have also read more than one news article, Mike and Carrington, describing folks in Stairways as formerly homeless. You know, folks that are in the transitional community here at Stairways are still a subset of homeless, and maybe you guys can expand upon that and talk about the different programs here.
I think a lot of people hear us talking, and they'll, if you come to some of our meetings, you'll hear formerly homeless. And here what we try to do is when we're talking to the community, the consumers here, we're using terminology in the past tense because we're trying to get them to look to tomorrow, not today. But in the real sense, they are still homeless. This is a program. So until they've gone into permanent supportive housing, they're in a program here. This is an intensive program. It's rapid rehousing. But they're still homeless in this program. And we're not 100%, which means that people will go back to the streets from here. And, you know, those people are absolutely homeless. And so, you know, there's so much that is involved in people getting off the streets that's glossed over. And it gets frustrating sometimes because of the constraints of news articles and things like that, or how they choose to edit it. One of the biggest things that we deal with here is people coming off the streets, having to leave people on the streets. And, you know, there are all the studies that show the PTSD and some of the things that come with that, and that a homeless individual coming off the streets feels the same separation that a veteran returning home from combat feels, because that same, often life or death, you know, survival that's going on. And so we have a lot of dynamics that go into programming, getting people stable and ready to go permanent supportive. But it's absolutely important, and you're right, that people understand that this is a program. And so this isn't a permanent address for anybody. This isn't, you know, they're off the streets, but they're definitely not housed.
But you do have permanent supportive housing within Stairways programming, and those folks would be, quote unquote, housed, no longer homeless, correct?
Absolutely. And what you're looking at around here and what you just toured, this is our programming facility here. So we have four houses away from here where is our permanent supportive, where people go. And so you don't get the chaos and it's a little piece of paradise. You know, it's your own place. You're living with, you know, on your terms of life. And it's an amazing thing to see the way people live. And we see just great things. Our permanent supportive houses, they'll get together and have parties. And, you know, Christmas time, they all got together, and it's a neat, neat thing to see. But the truth is that you have to give people that barrier between a permanent house and coming off the streets. Mm-hmm. There has to be some kind of programming. Otherwise, the results are bad. And it's, I believe, irresponsible to do that. So, yeah, we have 22 right now in permanent supportive housing, and then we have 60 housed at this facility, and probably in the next month we'll have about 8 more ready to go from here to permanent supportive housing. And we take our permanent supportive housing very, very serious, because it's an important thing to show that people can be supported and housed and permanent, and that they can function in our community and be fulfilling community members is really, really, really important, because I think it goes to hope. And I think the Chico community needs to understand that our homeless can become our neighbors, and you're never going to know they were formerly homeless.
When looking at the term formerly homeless, like, you really have to look at the definition of homeless. And, you know, from organization to organization, there's a different definition. Some people, or some organizations, view homelessness as, like, you know, you're still in a house. Like, say, if you're couch surfing and you're living at somebody else's house, but if that person decided to kick you out tomorrow and you would be on the streets, then you're technically still homeless. And, like, with that definition, yeah, everybody here is still definitely homeless. I mean, they're not houseless. They're all housed up. They're off the streets, and they're on their way towards the next step, having a home.
Yeah, no, I just think one of the big issues right now facing Chico is that we have to clarify some of our definitions and meanings. And, you know, I think there's a big, huge difference that the community is missing. Are you sheltered or are you housed? There's a definite disconnect there, and it matters. So often we're sheltering people, and then we think, great, problem solved, and that's not true at all. They're not housed, they're sheltered. And sheltering is something that is near and dear to Stairways. We plan on opening our harm reduction shelter, but the truth of that is that you're not housed. You're sheltered, and being sheltered could save your life, but it's not a future. It's not where we need to get people so they're not dependent on government and different things. And so we have to make sure that we're all speaking the same language, and I think the service providers right now are trying to get on the same page with being unified, providing a unified message and using terms that are all accurate. You know, one of my big pet peeves has always been a wet shelter or a damp shelter, and it's a harm reduction shelter. No one's advocating drug use being allowed in any facility, and you know, I don't really know anywhere where that's been done successfully, and I don't think that this community is going to hire a doctor to work in a shelter. So I think there's just been a lot of misleading terminology, and maybe even purposely for a long time. So clearing up the definitions, and when you ask, it's awesome to hear, because that's one of the things a lot of service providers have been just really clamoring for, is the opportunity to really, really say, no, this is what this means. This is what we're trying to do.
A lot of it's cold, because to me, it's like we were talking, you toured me around, Mike, about the whole idea, you know, we're talking about human beings. As an interviewer, it's very awkward, because a lot of times you walk into places, most places call people clients, and I've always hated that. You know, community members is just much more, not only much more humanistic, but it's much more accurate.
All right, once again, this is Gamro Mash, the Without a Roof radio program right here on KZFR 90.1 FM, and you're listening to Michael Medeiros, the Executive Director of Stairways Programming, along with Carrington Scott Forbes, the night staff there. And we're going to move on here to the last and piece that we have for Stairways Programming, and it's about 22 minutes long, and I'll cut in about halfway through just to make sure that new joining listeners know who they are listening to. And for all the listeners, thank you for listening on People Powered Radio.
I'm going to shift a little bit of a focus here onto Stairways' involvement with the Chico Police Target Team. Perhaps starting, Mike, with what the Target Team is and how you guys are involved.
The Target Team is the worst named idea in the history of law enforcement, and they'll tell you that. So they're not targeting anyone. So what the Target Team is it's specialized officers that can dedicate time to homeless issues. So they're not going to have to, their radio's not going to go off and they're going to have to run to a burglary. They're able to spend time, foot patrol and all those things, and actually get to know the situations, the people, and what's going on. Our involvement with them is, I had a conversation with the police chief quite a while ago now, it feels like forever. He came out, toured the facility, and he just said, you know, together we can do some things. And we were on the same page, and I was taken by his community policing model and what he wanted to do. And you know, I was skeptical. I've spent a whole lot of my life on the other side of the law, so I was studying him to see, you know, what his game was, and it was real. He really wanted this community policing model. And so what we came up with is that we would become partners. We're collaborative partners with the Chico PD and this Target Team, and that we go out and we start an outreach. And so we had already been doing outreach up until then. And so we do the outreach, and where it is now is Chico PD will call us. We'll come out to where they are, and we'll provide supportive services. So like in Clem's case, you had asked me repeatedly, you know, what can you do for Clem? And I couldn't find him. And it's really embarrassing, but we literally couldn't find Clem because he had just moved like 50 feet. But the way we drived around this block and where we had parked, we never went to the other side of this building. And so one day Chico PD called and they said, hey, we're with Clem. And we went out and we swooped him up right then. And that's kind of how it's supposed to work, is that we provide services now, not tomorrow, not, hey, maybe if you can get over to this place, they'll talk to you tomorrow. It's right now. What can we do right now? Let's assess you. Do we take you to behavioral health? What do we do? What can we do for you right now to help your situation as it is? Immediate needs. So our part is the critical time response team. What we do is we follow the CTI model, which is, before it gets too far gone, if we can help you before it's a crisis, we're all better served as a community. And so we work really closely with Chico PD. The Target Team now, we were going to start this housing for people that Target Team came into contact with, and it was supposed to be this small thing, and it just blew up. And it was really interesting, because what we found was a lot of the narrative was wrong. There wasn't a huge disconnect between law enforcement and homeless. It was people doing what they felt their job was. So police felt their job was to arrest and sometimes harass, and homeless felt that their job was to not get arrested and sometimes harass. And it was like a competition. And when we took that competitive and it was about services, when we removed that and human beings started having conversations and getting to know each other, it didn't matter what their position was, there started to be this compassion and people started looking for solutions. And that's what this is all about. It's about solutions, programs, things so that people don't remain homeless. And that's what they're working towards. It's something that I'm very, very proud of. It's something that I've worked insanely hard at. Sergeant Scott Zushin with the Chico PD, he works just crazy hours. And it's an interesting dynamic to have them call and say, hey, we have to go under this bridge tomorrow. They've gotten these notices. Can you come out and help us? And we're not going to help them arrest. We're going out to help them assess, and so that people know we're there. So when they're pulling people off and from under some of these bridges, their service is there for them. And the conversation isn't law enforcement searching them and asking them, hey, what the hell's going on? It's, hey, how can we help you? Can we get you in services? Why haven't you done this? And we have an assessment of need that happens right there on the spot. And it's really an amazing thing to be part of, and to have the chief wholeheartedly believe in the community policing model. And I think we're going to just see better things going forward with it. But we all have to remember that we have to support this. City Council, the general public, we have to support what's being done. We have to support what they're trying to do. Otherwise, we go back to the way it was.
And one observation and one question. It's a beautiful observation, Mike, because I literally, it was one of the most talked about without a roof pieces I put on KZFR, but I actually had a recorded conversation between Chico PD, myself, and Clem. And literally, that conversation was kicking him out of Children's Park. Where is he going to go? And he says, will you kick me away out of the bathrooms? And he didn't. The cop refused to answer. But literally, Clem was going to stay at that bathroom till he got kicked out of there. And I just think it's so freaking ironic that that's the reason you couldn't find him.
Yeah.
Because Chico PD had kicked him out of where he usually sits. You know, can't make it up. But the thing I just want to stop on briefly, because I know you guys, and we have talked about it as much as I've ever talked to you. We talk about the lack, the complete lack of services. Like, we don't have enough services in Chico to solve everybody's under a bridge problem. What would you say to that?
I agree. I absolutely agree. I also think that for a long time, the narrative has been it's the amount of services that we have is the reason why we have any homeless issues, that people come here. Chico is beautiful. I think we have an amazing location, but we also have to understand that our location is between Lake Tahoe, San Francisco, Portland, Sacramento. This is just a travel. This is just the way people are going to get from place to place, and this is going to be a stopping point. And I don't know how we change that. So when we accept that, now we can move on to how do we work with that. I think that we've used definitions for a long time. Transient versus homeless, and we've just used the word transient instead of homeless when it, you know, transient is someone that's passing through. Homeless is, you know, Chiconians, people of Chico that are residents here and that are homeless. And so just getting the right verbiage and understanding. And I think what we do is we come up with terms that dehumanize people, and then we see them as transient. We no longer see them as a person. We no longer see them as a human being freezing under a bridge. We see them as just a transient guy choosing to be under that bridge. And so that's troubling. And when we choose to let our humanity go, it's a big issue. And I think that with the bad economy and just everybody struggling, that's kind of where we got to. I think we got to almost the survival of the fittest, and everyone was really concerned about themselves, service providers, you know, Joe Public, everybody. And this is kind of where we ended up. And we all need that reminder that the majority of us are one paycheck away from being homeless ourselves. And, you know, we have to ask ourselves, what kind of compassion do we hope for if it was to happen to us? And when you talk about services or lack of services, we have to remember that it's not that a service exists. It's will people utilize that service. So if I have 50 churches and they all have a sobriety requirement and people can't meet that requirement, then yeah, I mean, if you're looking at it, you would say we have a whole bunch of places for people to go when they're not utilizing it. So we have to be real, real mindful of, are there services that people can actually obtain? Mm-hmm. And I think that's something that, that we need to give pause and really think about.
So like anything else, man, community is community, and I've met some incredibly cool people that are just traveling through. And I would say, actually, Mike and Carrington, I do a fair amount of traveling, and I'm poor. And when I travel poor, and I travel homeless. And I don't think I should be under the guise of being an unlawful citizen, because I literally am traveling and I don't have a place to stay because I can't afford a place to stay. It's really not where we need to go as a society.
Last target team question is, what would you say to the response in response to the fact police officers don't need laws to talk and help people?
I would say fantastic. They don't need a law to help. They don't need a lot of ordinances. They don't need a lot of things that we have. I think what happens is we have to stop looking at the police for what they're doing and look at ourselves as a community. This community has told the police what they expect, and now the community's kind of changing its views. Now we're willing to support, you know, harm reduction facilities, housing first. We're willing to be excited about the community policing model. But I think it's the community. I think it's a lot of people that have wanted something done with this damn homeless problem. And the amount of messages that I get, or the amount of time I read, just people, oh, I'm sick of it, I can't do this and I can't do that, and people are angry about this problem. And honestly, often it's just real petty things that they're angry about, and I'm wondering why that person can't think about the human being that's forced to do what's making them upset. And I think it was so many people weren't compassionate and weren't looking at the causes of what was going on, and just constantly bombarding the city council and police with expectations, do something, do something, do something. And that do something answer at the time was to arrest, was to cite, was probably the exact wrong thing to do. But I think it's what the people wanted, or at least, you know, the people that were being heard wanted. And now that that's kind of changing, and now the good thing that's come out of that is we know it doesn't work. You know, we just know it doesn't work. So now we have to look at things that work, being part of solutions. And solutions are services. And it is services that are actually going to result in good outcomes for the individual. And I think police now are starting to talk to people. They're starting to ask the important questions. And it's not so much where did you come from, it's how did you get here.
Actually, that brings up a question I don't have on my little 3x5 card, because I've made this statement from the knowledge and witness that I've bared, but you've been under the bridges longer, much longer and much harder than I have, it would appear. But I've made the comment, as an advocate, Mike and Carrington, I would rather take the pay that it would cost to hire a cop to quote-unquote solve homelessness and hire two social workers that can go under those bridges. What would you say to that, social workers versus policing?
I would say they're the same person. Under the community policing model, I think the police hiring the police, right, and supplying the training. So I can tell you with Sergeant Zushin, he's a lot more of a social worker at this point. He reads books, he's studying, he comes to trainings, he's in every homeless meeting he can possibly get to.
All right, once again, you're listening to Mike Medeiros and Carrington Scott Forbes from the local Chico Stairways programming, and you are listening to KZFR 90.1 FM, People Powered Radio. And shout out to our underwriters. Without a Roof is made possible by the generous contributions of KZFR members and by Chico Sports LTD, a locally owned sporting goods store featuring bicycles, sports equipment, and apparel for all seasons since 1985. Chico Sports LTD is located in the Safeway Plaza on Mangrove Avenue and is grateful for the support of local businesses and the community. And by the ARC stores in Chico, Oroville, and Paradise, putting your green philosophy towards a worthy cause. The ARC stores offer gently used clothing, furniture, antiques, collectibles, and more. All proceeds support local people and families with developmental disabilities. Open 7 days a week, 2020 Parker Avenue in Chico, 2745 Oradam Boulevard in Oroville. And in Paradise, 6640 Clark Road. More info at arcstore.org. Not 15 minutes from now, one of my favorite programs on KZFR. It's always nice to see the Beatle Nation crowd come in here, the young girls and all of their entourage, and look forward to that. And with no further ado, this is the ending of the Stairways programming interview right here on People Powered Radio.
And he's pretty much a homeless advocate at this point. And so he's doing the job of a social worker, but he's doing it much more effective. And he has some abilities that a social worker wouldn't. And so I think that we're in a trap of and or because of budget concerns, and I don't think it should be that. I think that it should be both. I think that we should have social workers supplying services, and we should also have plenty of law enforcement, but we should hold law enforcement to a standard that they're protecting and serving, that they are providing social services to people. And I think they're starting to do that. So I hear the argument all the time, well, you know, one law enforcement officer costs the city $100,000. We can get three social workers for that price, or, you know, whatever. And I don't think that that's a fair assessment of it. I think that what we should be focused on is making sure that our law enforcement are doing their job, and that they're doing it to a standard that the community expects them to. And I think that comes from the city of Chico saying, we expect our law enforcement to help first. And only when they've exhausted help and resources does it lead to an arrest. And I think that the tragedy here is that we've asked law enforcement to enforce things that aren't ethically enforceable. And what I mean by that is, when we tell people they can't do something but we don't give an alternative, I don't know how we live with ourselves, how we sleep at night. So it's really hard for me to be in a situation where I'm trying to hold people accountable, but they have no options. And I always come back to, if my daughters are at home starving to death, am I going to go into the groceries and steal food for them? And the answer is yes, I would. So if there was no other way for me to feed my family, am I wrong for feeding them the only way I could? And so if there's no place for you to be except outdoors, is it wrong for you to be outdoors? So I think what I'm getting at here is, we have to supply the solutions, and we have to expect that our service providers are actually giving those solutions, and that we're implementing solutions, and that we're giving alternatives to breaking these ordinances or laws. And once we do that, I think that we'll see that law enforcement won't be eager to arrest. They'll be out there and, hey, have you looked into this shelter or that shelter, because there isn't barriers. And if somebody's traveling through and they're not breaking any laws, it can be, hey, you know, you're fine to be here, but there is this shelter. It's going to get this cold tonight. And hold people accountable when they break a law, when they choose to, not when they have to. And I think that that's a really big thing, is that when we're talking about laws being broken, it's important that we judge people as having broken a law, not just a homeless person that broke a law, but that's a person that broke a law, and take the homeless away from it, and now we can kind of look at it in a fair context. Because I get really, really tired of reading homeless man did this, and then the crime has nothing to do with homelessness, because you don't see housed man did this. Mm-hmm. Right? And so I think it's almost a scare tactic that we put out there, and I just don't think that's right.
I personally, as an interviewer, I don't think is right, Mike, is the city now for at least a couple of years has their priorities. Safety is their number one priority. The rest of the priorities don't matter to me, and the fact that health is completely absent from that list of priorities. The health of the community is not on city council, city managers, city employees' desks. It's not on their list of priorities. So you get stuck trying to treat health issues as safety issues, because safety issues sounds like we need more cops. And if you've sat through enough of these meetings, Mike, in Carrington, there appears to be a real clear agenda to try to hire as many cops as we can, because that's what's going to make Chico great again. I don't know if that's more of a statement or any comment on that, but it upsets me.
There are some things that we have to be concerned about, and where law enforcement's really going to help. And, you know, you can go under the bridges right now and see $1,000 bikes that are just missing a seat. And we see that everywhere we go. And what I've been kind of letting people know is that stolen bikes are losing their value. And when that happens, when bike parts aren't really worth a whole lot, well, people still are going to get their fix. So what's next? And so we're going to see a rise in break-ins and some petty crimes and things like that. And so law enforcement's absolutely vital to the protection of the city. What we have to do, I feel, is that we have to look at situations as what they are, cause and effect. And I think that as we solve some of the homeless issues, then we don't have those issues anymore. And then we won't need 1,000 police officers. And so it's a cost effectiveness. But more importantly, we just have to hold people accountable. We have to hold law enforcement accountable. We have to hold homeless accountable. We have to hold service providers, city council. We have to hold everyone accountable for what they're supposed to be doing. And if we do that, I think that a lot of things will come out in the wash, and we'll really get to have a fair assessment of what's going on.
I feel, just to make sure I don't forget my point, is, Mike, if all you say as a community, you're going to focus on safety, it helps to divide you. Yeah, you look at that person more of the fact he's drinking in public, so therefore it's a safety, you know, you get pungent on that person instead of having any ability to look at the health of the community. So, I mean, that's really where I was kind of going with that. I think there needs to be more of a balance, because as somebody that's 55, I'm so used to hearing health and safety, health and safety. How the hell can you detach health and safety from priorities for the city?
So I stopped about two and a half years ago. I stopped reading the newspaper. I stopped looking at the city's priorities, and I have tunnel vision. I look at homeless. I look at behavioral health issues, and my specialty is co-occurring disorders, and that's what I focus on, because I was all over the place with it, because I was like, wait, why are you doing this? Why are you doing this? Don't you see this affects this? And I was spinning my wheels, and I almost felt like it was purposeful, like I was supposed to be at a magic show and look over here while I do this over there, and I just couldn't get anywhere with it. And so I don't pay attention to anything outside of my scope of practice anymore, because I just can't. I just can't do it, and I guess I'm too easily distracted. And you know, I'm not saying that that's a good way to be, but I could not tell you what's going on with any city issue that isn't in my lane, because I just don't, well, 100-hour work weeks, I don't have time, but I just don't have the capacity to even pay attention. So when you're talking about, well, this issue's over here and this issue's here and how have they separated them, I don't even realize they separated them, because I only pay attention to this, and it's too bad. It really is. And so I get blindsided all the time when someone says, hey, did you hear about this thing that city council's doing? And I'm like, no, because they attached it to something that is irrelevant, but it clearly is relevant. I don't get it. And I almost feel that sometimes that's purposeful.
Mike, I really appreciate what you've done, because I've done the same thing. I used to do all sorts of advocacy, housing people, doing this and that. And by the end of last year, I thought, wait a minute, I can't keep doing everything. I'm burning out. I'm not as effective as I could be. So I've decided to focus on journalism and get the word out there.
Sure.
And I think that really is a message that needs to resonate, is people need to focus and make sure you can get some results. Any closing thoughts or comments? I'll start with you, Carrington.
I just have one comment on the earlier topic of the Target team. There's two big things that I've really noticed since they've been around. One of which has been, I've never seen people so rapidly picked off the streets and put into housing until that happened. And the other big thing is, I've noticed going down to the parks and socializing with the other homeless in our community, I go out there and the police will come up, and instead of there being this huge stigma where everyone's got to run and hide and go do something else, there's actually they just wait for the police officer to walk up, and then they'd have a conversation. And that's the first time I've seen that in any community of the 48 states that I've been to.
I think what I would caution is that Chico right now is at a very important moment. We have to support the service providers that are here doing the work, but we also have to know that this can go either direction. We can go forward and we can make a huge dent in homelessness and put a lot of solutions in place, or we could go back, and if we go back, we're never going to get another chance to solve this. It's going to get out of hand. And I think what's really important to know is that as a community, we have to support the solutions. We have to take this away from being a political event, a political issue, and just make it a human issue again. And we have to look at people, and we have to stop talking about services and all the other things that just kind of get in the way of what's really happening. And we have to focus on, these are human beings. And, you know, we can look at a bunch of studies, and some of the best ones will tell you that out of the people that aren't receiving sheltering or housed, 80% of them have a co-occurring disorder. What that tells us is that we have a percentage left that maybe wants to live that way. And if the percentage is 20%, then that's fine. But 80% of people are going underserved, and they're living that way because they have to. And so that's where services are needed, and we have to support the solution so that people that want a roof. People that want a better life have that opportunity at that. We need to stop judging how somebody became homeless and start trying to figure out how we keep them from becoming homeless again.
My area of expertise is I dig in a lot and get to know people and ask a lot of questions. Is I have a hard time finding anyone once they kind of are presented. Guitar Clem is always presented. He's homeless by choice. No, he's not. I mean, so there's this big stigma, and I think a lot of people have just physically given up hope. Well, and it's so much better to be able to say, I'm homeless by choice and kind of live with it, but versus saying, I have tried everything and I can't get anywhere.
That's Psych 101. When you've been told no and you've been told that you're less than so many times, you're just going to stop even setting yourself up to be kicked down. You know, it always amazes me when we say, well, they're choosing to be homeless. In Clem's case, well, he's choosing maybe to not conform to what you're saying he should do. And so if somebody doesn't want the services that you're offering, maybe there's something wrong with your services, not necessarily that person's lack of using them. And we need to look at that.
I have to just say it one more time. I love that whole community member, because it really starts as considering everyone as a community member, which they are. And I love that term. I love it. I love it. All right, guys. Nice to have you on the Without a Roof March program. Thanks again, Carrington.
Yep. It's great being here.
Thank you. And thank you for being an advocate for the homeless community.
And thank you as well, Mike Maneros, for being an advocate for the homeless community. And we're back in the studio, and we were just working out with Beatle Nation. Carrington, our music producer, is going to bring someone in next week to do a Beatles song. Thank you, Carrington. They're going to transition right into the Beatle Nation.
Yeah, next month on the 7th.
Yeah. Awesome. Thanks, guys. And I want we're going to leave the show with Hazard Clearance. We've got a rap song he's teed up for us from Reverb Nation, which is how you can find him. But give us a little insight on this song before we roll this and move over to Beatle Nation, man.
All right. Well, as the way I see the hip-hop industry is, it's pretty much been doing the same thing ever since it started, at least from my point of view. So I wanted to try to flip something, and I called it My Hip-Hop Revival, because it's my way to revamp my take on the hip-hop industry. So I want to play it for you guys can get a sample of my CD, how it stands so far.
Awesome, man. And we're gonna get you back on and do a more in depth, whatever that means, you know, bright lights or something. I don't know.
Right.
And I want to thank everyone for listening to the 10th Without a Roof radio program right here on KZFR 90.1 FM. And make sure you tune in Peace and Social Justice Show on the 11th. We've got a really good program around housing in Chico and beyond. And once again, thank you and enjoy this song, hip-hop song from Hazard Clearance.
I strike down with bolts of lightning. This is my hip-hop revival. I don't know why you don't like me. I arrive, rise in the night sea. I strike down with bolts of lightning. This is my hip-hop revival. I don't know why they don't like me. I arrive, rise in the night sea. I strike down with bolts of lightning. This is my hip-hop revival. I don't know why you don't like me. I don't like rice in the night sea. I strike down with bolts of lightning. This is my hip-hop revival. People gather around me and they ask me to stop it. It's like I just hopped in a gunfight with a knife in my pocket. To be honest, it's probably just a very confused. You only tell yourself to make it through all days of confused. Assuming nothing of it, it's just safe to call you stupid. Stupid, what do I gotta say to you to get it through? I'm superhuman. I keep improving, involuntary, legendary. Day to day at a radius, fucking with it is dangerous. I'm like a river, catch a flow and get going. And for those that come against it, this is unrealistic. Who wants to kick it with it twice as insane? Now going out of his brain to sever lanes for you witness a game. It gets ridiculous, distant with the intent to offend him and keep on hitting him, making him forced to finish it. Act out like a sinner, still immaculate. Lex to be your counterfeit, not even worth the publisher publicly. You're
I don't know why they don't like me. I arrive, rise in the night sea. I strike down with bolts of lightning. This is my hip-hop revival. I don't know why you don't like me. I arrive, rise in the night sea. I strike down with bolt
strikes of lightning. This is my hip-hop revival.
I gotta keep up with this TV stacked up on the beat. I'm separating cause I'm different like a Martian on the streets. If you ever understood it, then I guess you couldn't see. You'll never see me like I'll never see fame. You never understand what it's like to have a homie surrounded by a bunch of people, ain't nobody know me. Feeling like the only one surrounded by this crowd. Everybody bower, but I ain't wearing the crown. Tear it down underground is the place that I came from. Bunch of killers ready to run up, it ain't fun. Hit them in the face with the back of my shotgun. Keep on busting shots and all of them cats up.
In the night, see, I strike down with bolts of lightning. This is my hip-hop revival. I don't know why you don't like me. I don't like rise in the night, see, I strike down with bolts of lightning. This is my hip-hop revival. I don't know why they